that worship very touching. I felt very touched by the Holy Spirit this morning, so much so I could barely sing. Just overwhelmed by his incredible goodness to me personally. So today I'm going to talk on the subject that, thank you, Darren, I've entitled it, The Light at the End of the Tunnel. I don't know if you've ever been to Jenolan Caves and they turn the lights out and it's pitch black. You can't even see your hand this close to your face. Absolutely pitch black and actually quite terrifying if you didn't know where you were. But for us, that light, of course, is Jesus. He is the light, and he is the light that shines my way through that dark tunnel so that I can negotiate my way through my life. And I have never doubted that. I haven't always listened or followed it, but I know that God in his faithfulness to me has always been there, whether I recognize it or not. Sometimes he does choose to remain a bit anonymous, wants me to seek a bit deeper his presence. But he wants me to be with him all the time. I'm going to focus on the part of light that talks about illumination. Illumination is when you flick a light on and it brings light to the darkness. It gives you, and for me, I'm going to think more about the side of revelation, of illumination, of where things are revealed to you that you mightn't have noticed before because it was not dark, light enough to see them. Just a bit like the morning light when it first comes in. You can think, what's that out there? And then as it gets brighter, you think, oh, it's not a monster coming to get me, it's a tree. You know those funny moments when you misinterpret what you see, which we all do from time to time, I'm sure, and it can sometimes lead, you can have a good laugh at yourself, oh, silly me, I should have waited and or turned the light on so I could see better. But sometimes we, all of us, forget to turn the Jesus light on. We think we can do it in our own strength, and I'm no different to anybody else. Often forget to flick that switch, and it's so important. The other thing I want to thank you for those who have been praying for me, particularly for at school. I'm really grateful because I can really know that God's presence is with me. And often what can be quite challenging circumstances where I have to think a lot on my feet. And thankfully I am actually quite good at doing that. Maybe all these years of having to do that in my teaching, I have learned to do that better, but not always in the right direction, but hopefully the direction is becoming better toward the things that God wants me to do in that place. So today when I was praying about what to speak about today, I felt to share about the most important person in my life next to God, and that's my daughter. That must have been why he didn't give me much to say. Let's turn to a scripture first. Let's turn to 1 John 1. And I think we've already read this a few times already. People keep pinching my scriptures. Verse 5 to 7, and it says, "And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." That's quite definitive, isn't it? Not just a little bit of darkness, no, absolutely no darkness. Not one inch of it. Oh well, I must be old because I'm still talking in inches and not centimetres. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And for that, I'm very grateful, because I know that there's much for him to clean up in me. Another scripture I want to look at is Psalm 43. verse 3 and 4. And it says, "O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre or piano, in my case, I shall praise you, O God, my God." And I am so grateful for God in my life. I cannot say that enough. I'm not the cleverest person. I'm not the brainiest person. I'm not the person who likes to step out too much on her own. But God has sent me on a journey that has caused me to do so many things that I would not have done had I not had that beautiful person in my life. God also spoke to me out of the book of Judges in 6, where it talks about Gideon. He was just an ordinary person. He was scared. He was very human. And I can relate to that. Many times I'm very human, and often I can be quite scared inside, even if you can't see it on the outside. You know, like a duck, you can't tell they're paddling. Half the time that's what I feel like I'm doing, paddling very fast to try and keep my head above the water. But God keeps me there. He keeps me buoyant. He's the one who keeps me going. When Katie's dad, Mark, and I found out we were going to have a baby, we were so excited, full of that joy and hope of a new birth. And then when she was born and we found out she had Down syndrome, that wasn't an issue, but because we were pleased to have her, it was the news that they told her that she had a heart defect, and all we could hear as her parents was she's going to die. Here we were, felt like 2 minutes in, not really, but felt like it, and told that this beautiful, gorgeous girl that we had been given as a gift was going to be taken away from us. That's what we heard. They weren't actually saying that, but that's what we heard. And it was, for her dad, it was very devastating for him. And for him, he began to emotionally shut down and back out. Unfortunately, he completely backed right out of our marriage. I think it too overwhelmed him. This beautiful little girl he'd grown to love in that short space of time was just too much. At 3 months of age, she had major heart surgery. The lovely nurse explained to me, because I'm not a technical person when it comes to medical things, was that's like a house with no rooms in it except the one at outside walls. They had to completely rebuild her whole heart. And during that time, while we were there and with her, she flatlined. She completely stopped. She died. It was pretty devastating to watch that happen, because this is when they said there was a window of time of 3 months, between 3 months and 6 months old, that they could only do that operation. That's the only time they could do it. And she got her operation was like one day after she turned 3 months. God was very kind in that way. And we had a lovely surgeon who operated on her. It was a long surgery. And it was just horrible to watch. I can't really remember how I really truly felt, but I know it wasn't good. And then the next day we were out, and they revived her, of course. The next day we went out, Mark and I went out for lunch, I think it was, and she had a second flat line. Thankfully, we went there for the second time, but as you can see, she didn't have a third one. And now she's 27 years old. Can you believe it? God is so good at the generosity. And the other neat thing is she wanted to show you that on Friday we went to a dance competition and she got 2 firsts and a second, and this is one of them she wanted to show you. Thankfully, her gift is dancing, and God touches people through her dancing and her lovely teacher, who isn't actually a Christian but has some sort of understanding and wants to embrace some of that for her in her dancing, has given her some beautiful songs that are God songs. One of them she's learning right now is by Kari Job. Just gorgeous. It's about, what's it called, Dawn?
Be Still My Soul.
Be Still My Soul, which is something I kind of need regularly, to tell myself to be still. So that was the beginning of her life. And for, as I said, Mark, that was just way too much. And unfortunately, he just couldn't cope with that. We both kind of imploded, I guess. There was no one around to kind of help us journey that journey. So I tried to reach out to God. I reached out to God, and he reached out the door, unfortunately. Katie has a good relationship with him and gets to see him still very regularly. He has since remarried and has other children. Then at the, you know, and we negotiated that way through that first little hurdle, which is quite challenging. I know everyone in the church back here were praying for us, and I believe that God definitely answered their prayers. We were grateful for that. As Katie grew, there were many challenges along the way that we had to face. When she was very little, you may or may not remember, and you may still think this is an issue for her, but when she spoke, she was very difficult to understand. Very, very difficult to understand. And even now, I still have trouble. I have to get her to repeat herself, and that's partly because she has low muscle tone, and so in her mouth, her tongue is not as strong as we have in our mouths, and therefore doesn't make the sounds properly. She also has a bit of a hearing issue, so she doesn't hear low, I think it's low sound, one or the other. I'm not a speech pathologist either, although I know a lot more about those things than I used to. She has trouble with those things, but we've negotiated those things. The two of us, you know, when she was 18 months old, we were kind of had to go and find a new place to live because we were turfed out of the house, and we were thankfully taken in by a lovely family who had us for about 3 months, and then we moved to Bay. Then we needed to find somewhere else. We stayed with them for a month, and then at the end of that I said, God, we need our own place. And amazingly, God moved housing to provide the very next day, rang me and said, we've got a house for you, it's in Waniasa, and we lived in that house for I think about 12 years. God was so faithful to us to provide for us in our hour of need. I know God doesn't always answer us quickly, and sometimes we wonder why he's taking so long, but he knows these other things he's trying to do in us and through us through that situation. But in that time we were desperate, we really needed, otherwise we were going to be on the street. So I was very grateful for that. Katie got to go to some great therapy sessions, and some of those things helped her to develop her speech, her muscle tone and stuff. And of course the dancing is very good for that too, because it keeps those muscles of hers working so that they stay. So I can explain it this way. The low muscle tone is like this. Because we have normal muscle tone, when we stand up we carry our full weight or sit down, but she doesn't. So if you go to pick her up, so when someone were to pick you up, you're carrying some of that weight yourself, but if you pick Katie up, you're carrying her full weight. She isn't able to carry that herself. That's the best way I can explain it. So to keep those muscles moving are really important. And you know, God has given me great revelation through having her as my daughter. I can honestly say I would not be the person I am today if I had not had her in my life. God has used her to hone me like nothing else. And it hasn't it, because she's a difficult child, because she's not. Couldn't have got a gentler, kinder person to have as a child. When I see some of the children I work with, I'm very grateful that her temperament is very much like mine. She got a father's good looks and she got my personality, so I think she got the best of both of us. And God has given me great revelation on how to lean into him more and more through having had her in my life. I know that we have walked our own journey, and he has been incredibly faithful to help us in that journey. Let's turn to Psalm 31, verse 24. You still got it at the other one, it's only 10 psalms back. So 31 verse 24 says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in God. And I tell you, I've had to do that a lot through this journey, to take courage. It hasn't always been easy putting one foot in front of the other. and keeping going. I think going back to teaching has really helped me to have a bit of a focus outside of the home, which has helped me also to, I guess, sometimes keep sane, although sometimes school does drive me a little bit nuts at times. I think that God continues to teach me the importance that my strength comes from Him. But courage is an interesting thing, because we always think of people that are brave, you know, but to be brave or to have courage, usually your knees are knocking together. Who's ever noticed that? You're not really feeling very brave or strong when you go through those circumstances, but actually, and that's the difference. That's what courage is. Courage is taking all that insecurity and ill feeling and uneasiness and still doing it. And that's what God wants us to do. In our being bearers of light, I find that really quite overwhelming. I suppose you wouldn't think so, but I'm quite a shy person, and in different circumstances, it's harder for me to kind of get out there. And I know there's people in this room who are very good at that, but I don't find that very, it's not a comfortable place for me. I find it very difficult. And so God is teaching me the importance of having courage. But that doesn't just, I don't have to rustle it up. I have to get that courage from Him. Because that kind of courage is the courage I need. Not the one that, the bravado, which is often what you walk in to start with, to be honest. Even as a teacher, there are times when I kind of think, well, I think I've got this. If they throw me, every now and again, they'll give me, last year I had to teach a year 5-6 class. I was totally out of my depth in that year level, and I just had to put on the brave face and pretend I knew what I was doing. The teaching I know how to do, but the age group I'm just not so familiar with. And God is faithful in those things. And He wants us to continue to take those steps forward so that we can have an impact in this area. We already are. We're already touching lives. We just don't know how much yet. Through our prayers, that prayer walking we do once a month, I think that has been crucial for us to grow, to our growth. I don't know about you, but it has certainly helped me to grow and give opportunity to share my faith with people. It has actually given me impetus at school, which you're not allowed to speak the name of God at school. Naughty, naughty, smack your hand if you get caught. But God is faithful. Every now and again you'll get a private moment somewhere, even in the staff room I've found, offer to pray for someone. You get to pray and no one walks in. It's like God's angels there saying, get out of here, you're not allowed in here yet. But, and I find that very encouraging. I don't get to do that very often because sometimes I probably miss the opportunity or my knees are knocking too hard, someone might hear me coming. But I'm growing in that, and I want to continue to grow. And if you're a person like me where you find it challenging to reach out to people, to step out of what we find comfortable, then God is there to help you. It's not for us to say, oh, I'm going to give up. It's for us to keep moving forward, taking God by the hand, you know, just like a little child does. I love that about little children. They'll just come wandering up to you and they'll just slip their hand into yours as an adult and they'll just walk with you. They'll be skipping away or whatever they're doing, like little particularly, I guess boys and girls do that, don't they, when they're little? And their eyes are on everything. They're taking everything in. They're so excited. But they've got that steadiness of that adult hand right next to them to stay them. They feel secure, because they know the person next to them is trustworthy. And that's what we need to know. We can put our hand in God, and He is a trustworthy God. He is never going to let us go. He's always got our hand. We just don't notice it half the time. We're a bit numb to God sometimes. I'm talking about myself as much as anybody else. We can miss the things that God is saying to us. Not because He isn't saying them, because we're not listening in the right direction. Let's turn to, I'm saying mostly in Psalms today. Let's go to Psalm 119. You'll know the scripture very well. In fact, probably most of you can quote it. I was reminded of this just this morning. verse 105, and it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And this just reinforces the word being this, and the ones that he gives us outside of ourselves as well as within our own hearts. Those words he gives, they're things that help to illuminate or bring revelation to us for that path ahead. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but God doesn't shine the light anymore. You know, when you've got a torch, it doesn't shine very far, does it? So you never get to see the whole place you're going. Just like when we walk with God, we don't usually see more than the step we're taking. That means we still have to trust him for the next step, and the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that, that keeps us going. But thank goodness, he only ever expects us to take this many steps, one at a time. I don't know, I've tried to do more than one at a time. Have you ever done that and you've just tripped over? And I'm sure I've done that with God as well. Tried to rush ahead or pull back. Sometimes you want to pull back because it's a bit scary. But God just wants us to know that we can stand right next to the kindest, most wonderful person next to us we could ever have, and that's him himself. He alone is the only one that is the best companion. That yoke we talked about this morning, that isn't something that's meant to restrain us. It's meant to keep us so that we can stay with the one who can help us. God knows that we'd race off. Well, maybe it's just me that does these things, but you know, that shiny thing that you go running after, you know, little kids do. Oh, look, let's go look at that. No, no, down, no, 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 no. They're all over the place. Well, I'm like that a bit. You might be a more staid person, but I'm all over the place, get very distracted, easily distracted. But God wants to keep us on his focus, not our focus. And that's where I want to be. I want to be hearing what God has for me so I can fulfill the things that he's called me to do, just me to do. I don't want to know what any of you need to do in the sense that I don't have to carry those things out. I do want to know about them, but I don't want to be trying to do them because that's not what God has called me to do. But he has called me and this group of people to walk with you like this, with our hands together, because together we are stronger. We can encourage each other. Like, you know, when you're walking along a rocky path and someone's holding you hand and all of a sudden you trip, but they're there to hold you. Well, that's what it does. That's what fellowship does. We hold each other in place. We're there to support each other when we need it. And we all need it. Not one person in this room does not need that support at some time. Some of us, like me, need it a bit more than others. But God keeps us together. He keeps that bond together. That's why he wants us to be willing to love each other so that we can walk the path together. He never designed his people to be in isolation. There are some people that are on their own because of circumstance rather than anything else. Like in places where, you know, they might be hiding in a cave, keep away from danger, and some of those places that are experiencing terrible things at the moment, to keep them and their families safe. But God is there and he's here, whether we feel it or not. And I want to emphasize that. Sometimes we think we should be feeling God's presence all the time. I don't, but I know he's there. And in that worship, I did actually really feel his presence strongly today. I think something, when we got together as an eldership, God asked us to do some things. I feel like something was made that enabled that worship to be special today. That we felt as elders to come together and lead today, and I felt God honoured that. The time that we took aside to hear what God had to say. And we listened to each other. We saw how God was bringing it together, as he always seems to. That common thread that he stitches together to make the tapestry of our next part of our journey. And I think that it's important that we hang on to those things. So I just want to remind us all that there is light at the end of any tunnel. Sometimes those tunnels feel very, very long. But God is there with us through that time. And I know this through my own personal experience. Let's just pray. thank you that you are a faithful God to your creation, that's us. Thank you that you are with us all the time. Help us to reach out more to you, to hold your hand so that you can lead us. Because we know it's best when you do the leading. And we just ask throughout this week, may you speak to us all individually, something that we need to hear. May you be that lamp to our feet and the light to our path, so that we can know that we're on track.